I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hello everyone, Charles Watts here. Welcome back to Inside Arsenal. It's Sunday. I hope the weekend is going very well wherever you're watching or listening to this around the world. And it should be because Arsenal are back to winning ways. Huge win yesterday at Wolves in a Premier League, a win that takes them, of course, back to the top of the table for how long? We'll have to wait and see. But for now, they are top of the Premier League once again. So we'll talk about that game in today's show. We'll go over Arteta's reaction. I'll give my thoughts on the big talking points from the game. I'll go over my player ratings. I did do the video from the press box last night, but I'll go over them very, very quickly again in case you haven't seen that. Got some comments and opinions from you guys on what you saw last night. And I really do want to talk about the sort of rant that Pep Guardiola had after Man City's FA Cup semi-final win against Chelsea yesterday and Mikel Arteta sort of backing up that rant. The two of them not happy with the fixture scheduling, which I thought was quite an interesting thing. So I wanted to talk about that, and I will do that once we get the sort of match reaction stuff out of the way today. And look, it was a really good win for Arsenal. It wasn't the prettiest of win. I don't think, and I said this in last night's video, given what had gone on in the week beforehand, the results, the confidence issues, the tiredness, the fatigue, I didn't expect this to be some wonderful, free-flowing football match, especially given that Wolves are having injury issues themselves. I thought they would do what they did, which is just try and protect what they had and see if they could hold Arsenal out for 90 minutes, which they tried to do. Arsenal kept plugging away, and they got the win. It was yesterday, it was about 3 points. It was about nothing more. In fact, the next 5 games, I do not care how Arsenal play. It is the least important thing now, performances. At this stage of the season, it is about results. Look at the FA Cup semi-final last night between Man City and Chelsea. I thought Chelsea were a better team. They should have scored 3, 4, 5 goals. They could have done if they were just a little bit switched on in the final third and showed a little bit of sort of nous when they got in good positions. But they didn't. Man City held on, rode out their luck and scored and went through. That's all that matters. They're in the FA Cup final. Chelsea aren't. It's all about results. And yesterday's game was all about 3 points, and Arsenal got that. And it was a really, really big 3 points as well. I mean, look, and I didn't think they played badly by any means. It was a decent away performance in the Premier League. I mean, you look at the stats from the game. We've got the stats here from Squawker. Arsenal absolutely dominant, 24 shots to 5, 9 on target, just 3 for Wolves, 53 touches in the opposition box for Arsenal, just 6 for Wolves. Expected goals, 1.21 for Arsenal, 0.14 for Wolves. You know, it was a dominant win, a deserved win, and a decent performance given the circumstances. And Mikel Arteta was understandably very happy. The players were understandably very happy. You could see the celebrations at the end. They looked exhausted. They looked out on their feet, I think physically, emotionally, mentally, and everything. And I think you could see that at the full-time whistle yesterday, but it was just about the 3 points. And it is on Tuesday night against Chelsea, against Tottenham next weekend. I don't care what performance it is. I really don't. It's just about winning games now at this stage of the season. That is definitely what it's about. But Mikel was really happy. You can understand that. He's when asked about the importance of getting back to winning ways, he said, look, it's really good. I really like the performance. Obviously, the result and the clean sheet, but especially the way individually as a team, the team has shown that they still have another step forward to make and ensure the resilience and the determination that is needed in these moments to step in and say, I'm here, I'm going to make myself count, and I'm going to impact the team. On what it's been like, basically, to have such a quick turnaround from the game, especially from Munich to coming back to playing here. He said, look, we stayed in Munich, and I think we had 1 or 2 hours sleep. We woke up and started to talk about Wolves, first of all, and then about what the players need, how we're going to get them into this game in the best mental and physical condition and prepare to understand what we have to do in the game to beat them. The boys were unbelievable. The staff are unbelievable. It's a joy to work with them. And then we realised that we want to be involved in the big competition, fighting for the Champions League, fighting for the Premier League with the level that is required. You have to do something special and you have to be something special and determined. And you're going to have to love to compete and expose yourself when it's needed to get the outcome that you want. I thought the boys did that really well today. And they did. They put everything out there, Arsenal. You could not complain about their effort, how hard they worked, anything like that in yesterday's performance. Given the week they've had, the energy sapping week they have, the travel that they've gone through, the mental prowess they've shown to come back and get that result yesterday. I thought they really do deserve a lot of credit for grinding it out, and they showed a lot of spirit and they showed what they're about. And I think that was very clear from what Mikel Arteta had to say yesterday, that he was very, very happy with that. It's 6 clean sheets away from home for Arsenal in a row in the Premier League. It's the first time Arsenal have ever done that in the history. I think they're now one behind the record, which I think Chelsea and Man United both hold. I think that's from 2007, 2008, or 2008, 2009, one of those two seasons. So Arsenal just one away from that record now. Obviously, if they're going to get that, they're going to have to go and keep a clean sheet at Tottenham next week, which will be very, very interesting. We'll have to wait and see on that. But, you know, fantastic achievement from Arsenal, from the defence, from David Raya, who I thought was excellent last night, by the way, David Raya. Mikel on achieving those 6 clean sheets, he said it's very difficult. I don't know when the last time it was done, but I imagine it wasn't recently. He's right. It definitely wasn't. I'm pretty sure it was 08, 09. But I imagine it wasn't recently because it's extremely difficult to do that. Credit to the boys for the level of organisation, for the understanding, and especially for the love they show while defending and the platform it gives to the team to win football matches. On David Raya, who, like I said, I thought had a really good game yesterday. Made the big save, obviously, in the first half when Gabriel's header sort of gave Kivior a problem. Kivior got robbed of possession and João Gomes went through and had the shot and Raya tipped it onto the post. Really important save at 0-0, of course. And Arsenal did not want to have to go behind and try and fight back to come back, overturn a deficit last night. So I thought it was a massive save. But it wasn't just about that. I thought his all-round performance was great. Every cross that he came for, he claimed. The way he did it as well with, you know, he was physical. He, you know, banged into a couple of the Wolves players a couple of times when he was coming to make those clearances. You know, he really commanded his box very, very well. I thought it was an excellent performance from Raya. So on his save, Arteta said very, very good. He didn't concede anything up to that point, and we had some open situations to score, which we didn't. And that would have changed the course of the game for sure. David was outstanding in that moment to make the save that we needed, and we took advantage of it. I think the timing of the first goal was really helpful as well, and I'm really happy. That first goal, the timing of Trossard's strike, absolutely crucial. It really, really was. And on being able to count on Raya with his performances, I think he says, I think he's been very consistent throughout the whole season, and obviously the numbers that we have are proof of that. Fair play to David Raya. Thought he really deserved a lot of credit for the way he performed yesterday. Not just him, the centre-backs as well, and Declan Rice ahead of him. That trio, if you're a goalkeeper and you're looking ahead of you and you've got Gabriel and William Saliba with Declan Rice just in front of them, you must feel extremely, extremely confident that you're not going to have that much to do during a game. Right, I just wanted to touch on this. Arsenal won. I can't be bothered to really talk about decisions and everything like that because I thought Paul Tierney was awful yesterday. I thought he absolutely put the players in danger with some of his decisions or lack of decisions, should I say, and none more so from the one you're looking on screen. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see it. It's a tackle from Max Kilman on Kai Havertz. I do not understand how that is not a red card. I just don't get it. And as much as I'm criticising Paul Tierney, and I did think he was poor yesterday, there was other instances that he let go that he didn't book, players that it was, you know, I was really getting worried that an Arsenal player was going to get injured during that game because of the way Paul Tierney was refereeing it. And I don't know how he didn't send him off for this, but I, even worse, I don't understand how VAR can look at this and not deem that a reckless, out of control, dangerous tackle. It's way above the ankle. It's so late. It's on Havertz's standing leg. Havertz is so lucky he didn't break his leg from this yesterday. I think the fact that his standing leg was just a little bit above the ground, it wasn't quite, you know, properly rooted to the ground, is the only thing that's escaped that from being an Eduardo type injury. It was a horrible, horrible challenge, and I don't understand how it's not a red card. I really, really don't. Thankfully, we're not sitting here today talking about VAR controversies or, you know, Havertz having a broken leg and being out for a long, long time, but we easily could have been. And I think they really need to look at that, the PGMOL, and work out how that's not a red card. Because if that's not endangering the opponent and going in out of control late and recklessly, then I really don't know what is. I'm at total loss to know what is a red card if that isn't. And Havertz, such a lucky boy to escape serious injury.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Okay, I'm going to go through some of my player ratings now. I did do this yesterday, obviously, in the show. Had a little bit of time to think about it on the way home, as I always do. And I've changed one. I've knocked Kvyat down from a six to a five. I do think Kvyat deserves a lot of credit because he really struggled in the first half hour, to the point that I thought Mikel's got to substitute him here. Wolves were targeting him. They're playing long diagonal balls over. He didn't look comfortable. Obviously, he had the mistake that led to the Gomez chance. He just didn't look comfortable in that position. And this is why I actually gave him a six yesterday, but I have rounded it down again because I'm just comparing what I've given other players to him. So I put it back down to a five. But I thought he really grew into the game, and I thought he deserves credit for that because he could have easily lost his head, could have really let that first half hour affect him throughout the game, but he didn't. He grew into it, he improved, and I thought he played quite a big part in the win towards the end. And I thought he had some really good moments towards the end of the first half and in the second half as well. So I did give him a six, but having sort of thought about what I've given other players, I've knocked him back down to a five again. So my player ratings, that's the only change I've made. So I've got Raya was an eight. I thought he was brilliant. David Raya, as I've said, thought he was great. White, Saliba and Gabriel, I always gave sevens to. Kvyat knocked down to a five. Rice was my man of the match. And David Raya was going to be my man of the match because I just thought he did everything really well. But the last 20 minutes from Declan, probably because Thomas Partey came on in that period. I think Partey came on in like 80 minutes or something. But you really saw Declan take a real grasp of the game after Thomas Partey came on. Maybe that was because you had that assurance of having someone like Thomas behind you. Obviously, it allowed Declan to play further up the pitch, but he really grasped that game in the last 10, 15, 20 minutes. Obviously, had a really key part to play in the second goal as well. So Rice just edged the man of the match for me, but it was a really close thing between him and Raya. Gave Odegaard a seven. Then I gave Havertz, Saka and Jesus a six, and Trossard seven. And, you know, again, sixes are a good score. You know, I'm not saying those players got six or had a bad game. I think they had a, if not an average game, maybe just about an average game, because I've got quite a few comments that I'll share at the end talking about me only giving Havertz a six for that game. But I didn't think Havertz played badly. I thought he played well. I thought he did a decent job. He worked really hard. He did everything he needed to do. I just didn't think he did anything that takes him, you know, above to get to the seven, which in my mind is a very good score in player ratings. But yeah, so those are my ratings for last night. Obviously, only a couple of substitutes came on, Martinelli and Thomas Partey. It was interesting, I thought, watching Declan Rice after Thomas Partey came on in that last period of the game. You know, I thought Partey might start yesterday. He didn't. But I do wonder, looking at that, if we might see Partey, probably not at Spurs. I doubt he'll play him at Spurs, but I wonder if Partey might come in against Chelsea. But we'll wait and see. I think Jorginho is still ahead of him in the pecking order at the moment. So this is how it all looks right now. Obviously, by the time you're watching this, maybe Liverpool will have played their game against Fulham, which is a little bit later on today at Craven Cottage. So we'll wait and see how they do. Could obviously move back level on points with Arsenal with a win there. Certainly something they're going to need to do, you would think. They need to get 3 points today. Manchester City don't play till Thursday, so they're a game behind Arsenal. Only played 32 and a point behind. And you look at that running now. Arsenal have Chelsea, Spurs, Bournemouth, Man United and Everton. Man City have got Brighton and Forest, two away games in a row for them. Arsenal will be desperately, desperately hoping one of those two teams can do them a favour. Then it's Wolves, Fulham, Spurs and West Ham. And Liverpool have Fulham, Everton, West Ham, Spurs, Villa. I mean, that is a quite tricky little four-game run. Actually, five-game. You know, Fulham have proven difficult opponents, certainly for Arsenal this season. But that's not, that is pretty tricky when you think they've got the Merseyside derby, they've got West Ham away who are still going for Europe, Spurs obviously trying to get the Champions League, Villa trying to get into the Champions League, so that's not the easiest running of fixtures for Liverpool when you look at it like that. So yeah, going to be an interesting one. Arsenal got their job done this weekend, that was the important thing, just had to get the job done, wait and see what Liverpool do and then go again on Tuesday night against Chelsea. And if they can get that win against Chelsea on Tuesday night, which is not going to be easy, because I think Chelsea are playing some much better football now, as they showcased yesterday in the FA Cup semi-final. But if they can get the job done against Chelsea, then you know, that does put a little bit of pressure, certainly scoreboard pressure, on Manchester City, who even Manchester City, you never know, might start to feel that pressure a little bit. Right, I really wanted to talk about this now. Mikel Arteta and Pep Guardiola, I thought it was really, really interesting. That I've got Mikel's comments up on the screen now. I'm going to read Pep's first of all. He said it a couple of different things. He said it to the broadcaster. He said it to on the match of the day analysis after the semi-final when he was talking to Gary Lineker. And then he also said stuff in the press conference when he was talking to journalists as well. And he's really not happy about the fixture scheduling and the fact that Man City are having to play their semi-final on the Saturday when they played in the Champions League in midweek. Obviously, the other semi-final today is Coventry versus Man United, who didn't have any Champions League commitments. And Pep's like, why on earth did we have to play on Saturday and they get to play on Sunday? You know, surely it should have been the other way around. And he's really not happy. He says, people cannot imagine what a punch in the face it is to be out of the Champions League in the way that we are out. Why we're not given one more day to arrive on Sunday because Coventry and United didn't play in midweek. For the broadcasters, okay. When we play the Champions League, hopefully we'll qualify. It is the same week as the Carabao Cup. How are we going to play? Will we play EDS in the Carabao Cup? I don't know what EDS means. After next season, we go to the Club World Cup too. We are incredibly happy, a lot of money, incredibly prestigious. But how many days do I give off to the players? 2 weeks off at the start of the season again? It's unsustainable. And he talked about it a lot more. He was really, really angry. You could tell there were plenty of other comments from him about it. He said he was going to refuse to speak to the broadcasters after the game because he didn't want to do it. And he just wanted to go off and go home. Really, really angry from Guardiola. And I think he's right to be. I mean, you look at what City have got and the fixtures that they've had and the run that they've had. It is really tough. Having said that, it's not as bad as Arsenal. You know, if Pep's angry, you can imagine what Arteta's like, because Pep, obviously, the Real Madrid game was at home, so they didn't travel abroad. They were in Manchester. Then they played today. It's exactly the same as Arsenal. But then they don't play Brighton until Thursday. Arsenal have got to play on Tuesday night, and then they go to Tottenham at the weekend. So, you know, as bad as City's fixtures schedule has been, Arsenal's been worse, to be fair. And you could say, well, you know, Arteta was fully behind Guardiola. When he was asked about Pep's comments, he said, look, it's not about us, about Pep or myself. It's about the well-being of the players. And especially when you're competing in European competition, everything has to be competing in the same way. You cannot have a team that hasn't played for 7 days, then 3 days before and has more recovery time. And then you have to play in the Premier League or the FA Cup. It's not right. You look at it from any angle, it is not right. You want to protect, and you always want to talk about praise and the protagonist. Let's protect them and let's think about them and do everything we can to give them the maximum time so they can recover and perform and maintain the show that they put in every single week. And I think he's particularly unhappy, Mikel. You could tell that after the Bayern game, that Bayern were given extra time to prepare for that Champions League. The Bundesliga, foreign leagues are much more happy to give the teams who they have, who are playing in European competition, extra days to prepare for those European games. So they'll schedule a fixture on a Friday night. So they have like 4 or 5 days to prepare for the Champions League. Whereas in the Premier League, obviously, you can be playing on the Wednesday, but you'll be playing the Sunday evening game. And, you know, in one way, that's what makes the Premier League so great, because it is such a spectacle when the games are put on at the time where they get maximum viewership. And that's what's made the Premier League so big and such a money-making machine. And Arsenal, Man City, other clubs like that, they benefit from that money and the financial firepower the Premier League is and the financial beast that it is. But on the other hand, you're giving yourself a disadvantage because of the scheduling and the way it is all set up. And I do think something has to change. I mean, the schedule, and I know a lot of lower league clubs will be saying, this is ridiculous. We play more games in the league. And I understand that they do. And they, you know, and they just get on with it 100%. But these, they don't have the international commitments that Arsenal, Man City and other clubs have. You think about it, you've had the World Cup, then you had another season straight on top of that. Then you go this season, you've got the Euros, you've got the Club World Cup coming up, you've got the Copa America, then you've got another season. You know, it's just non-stop, and it has been non-stop for 2 or 3 years for these players. There is no time to prepare. You've seen the amount of injuries that have happened this season, and there is no doubt that the fixture schedule is having a massive, massive impact. And some of the best players in the world, we're not getting to watch them because they are injured. So I do feel like it has to change. And I do feel Pep and Mikel are right when they talk about, especially in this country, there needs to be a little bit more balance, I think, in terms of making it more of an even playing field, especially when it comes to European games, to be able to give you our teams in England the same amount of recovery time to prepare for the big European games that the opposition do in Europe. I think Bayern Munich certainly benefited from that. And that's not an excuse for why Arsenal went out by it at all. But I do think it's something that needs to be looked at. And I thought they were really interesting comments. I thought obviously Pep waited until after his side has won, so he didn't look like a bad loser, like doing it before the game or anything like that. You know, he picked his moment. He did it after his team had won, and they deserve a lot of credit for grinding it out and getting that win. And he went into it. And, you know, Mikel had kind of mentioned it in the run-up to the game yesterday in his press conference, and he did it again yesterday. I thought they were really interesting. You know, two, definitely a lot of anger going on there. They were measured, but there was definitely a bit of anger going on between the two, and you can understand that, really. Just quickly on Tomiyasu, he's injured, which is a real shame. That was a blow yesterday. I thought he played very well against Bayern Munich. He kept Leroy Sané really, really quiet, but as is the way with Tommy, he picked up an injury. Hopefully nothing too serious. That's a word we've been told by Arsenal anyway. It is just a knock. It was a bit of swelling after he got it. It happened during the Bayern Munich game. I don't think it was a muscle injury with Tommy. That wasn't the sort of message we were given. It was a knock and there was a bit of swelling. So hopefully it's just an impact thing and he shouldn't be out too long, because, you know, Arsenal will need him between now and the end of the season. So we'll wait and see if we get any more of an update from him or from Mikel in his press conference tomorrow ahead of the game against Chelsea. Okay, before I round things off, let's just quickly go over what you guys have been saying. John says, I'm glad we won this one, because if we'd lost or drawn to a poor Wolves side, we'd been really kicking ourselves. One flash of brilliance in front of goal by Odegaard, but only after he'd missed the initial shot. It wasn't the initial shot. He was trying to cut it back, John, I think, and got lucky rebound. Trossard's goal looked like he was definitely going for the shot, but got some luck with it swerving away, just managing to go in off the post. Plenty of missed opportunities, as you say. This should have been a training pitch scoreline, not 2-0. We will need to play much better than this to beat Chelsea, who only lost by one goal to Man City and Spurs, because if we keep being indecisive or waiting for the perfect ball in front of goal, we will end up not winning one or both of them. I hope this win reinvigorates the team and gives us some confidence back in front of goal. Gary says, nervy but comfortable, Charles. Errol says, happy Arsenal fan. Big, big coming against Chelsea and Spurs. Just got a feeling if we beat Chelsea and Spurs, we will win this league. I will hope you are right. A few of you getting in touch about Kai Havertz, getting plenty of flowers. Just a few comments here, but it was much, much more than this. I know it's done in response to my player ratings video yesterday when I only gave Kai a 6, which, by the way, I still say is a good score. That's not saying he didn't play badly if I give him a 6. I'm saying he played well. You know, it's a decent average, you know, performance from Kai Havertz. It's a sort of performance you want. Langsy says, I think Kai had a good game today. Him, Jesus and Trossard are interchanging positions 3-way and it was fun to watch. Vitson says, I'm sorry, Charles, but no way was Havertz a 6. And this is coming from someone who is not lenient on player performances. I thought it was very calm in possession. He moved the ball well, in my opinion. His best performance in midfield for us. Interesting one. I thought he was fine. I don't think it was his, but I look at the way he played it in West Ham when he played, especially at Burnley, actually away from home. I think that those were... he performed better in those games than he did last night, but he still played very well last night. He still played a big part in Arsenal's win, as I, you know, did point out yesterday when doing those player ratings. JPZ says, Charles, I feel a 6 player rating for Havertz is really, really harsh. I thought his passing was exceptional and he was also heavily involved in both goals. He was correct. His movement off the ball and defending both seem good to me. His weight of pass is the best I've seen in an Arsenal shirt. Vetpara gets in touch. Hi, thank you very much for this. You said, hi, Charles. Just think, when you need some stability, that Rice-Saliba-Gabriel triangle is so important. Need to force City to be perfect. 100% we do. Ryan says, Charles, I'm sure that it was Saliba who made that mistake and not Gabriel. And those that comment has been sort of backed up by Rail9269, who said it was Saliba, not Gab. And JP Shannon says it was Saliba who gave the ball away. So I think in my player ratings yesterday, I mentioned Gabriel giving a ball away that led to Wolves having a shot. But obviously, I got it wrong. So thanks for all of you for pointing that out. It seems like it was Saliba and not Gabriel who did that. So yeah, apologies, Gabriel, if you're watching. Sure you're not, but if you are, apologies for that. It was your partner who did it. Thanks, everyone, for getting in touch. Appreciate your time. As always, thank you for watching, for listening. I'll be back tomorrow as we start to prepare for Chelsea. You want to get involved in that, in any sort of opinion in terms of who you want to see play, what Mikel Arteta should do in terms of that Chelsea game, you know what to do. Get into the comments, leave them. I'll pull some of them together and get them involved in the show. Until next time, everyone, have a fantastic end to your weekend. Speak to you soon. Bye-bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.